There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to the Schmo Zone, where the air is thin, the sports get heavy, with your hosts, the dynamic duo, Dave Schmollinson and Helen Yee.
What is up, party people? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. I'm Dave Schmollinson, a.k.a. the Schmo.
And I'm Helen Yee Sports.
We had a wild weekend in sports. It's a beautiful day here in Las Vegas. Helen, where should we start?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it was a crazy fight weekend. UFC 300. We have PFL.
PFL. So it was a great fight weekend. UFC 300 delivered and some, wouldn't you say? Some spectacular performances. Max Holloway, the BMF. The baddest mother effer is what it stands for. The champion. He beat Justin Gaethje. The most spectacular knockout I have ever seen. Ironically, last weekend, we had Impa Kasaganai. Last Tuesday, here in studio for the PFL Friday evening. We went to his fight as well, where he beat Alex Polizzi to remain the Bellator light heavyweight champion. He was on the receiving end, I thought, for the best knockout in UFC history. Back in Abu Dhabi a few years back, Fight Island, when Joaquin Buckley brought that kick to the skull, and it was like a Mortal Kombat scene. It was just a spectacular knockout that people have been playing on repeat for years and years and years. Well, that's what's going to happen with the Max Holloway knockout over Justin Gaethje on Saturday. You have 1 second left of the fifth round, championship round. He draws him right there to the center of the cage, points, let's stand and bang right here. And boom, he delivered, and Justin Gaethje lights out face first on the canvas, something we'll remember forever, being there in person.
I know. It was incredible. That was like basketball's equivalent of a buzzer beater.
It certainly was. It was like Michael Jordan, 1998, you know, over Russell, shot over Russell, walk off, game over, let's go, legacy. I mean, Max Holloway already a certified Hall of Famer.
Yes.
But now the only fighter in the history of the organization to be an interim champion, to be an undisputed champion, and now a BMF champion.
Wow.
Crazy.
Those accolades. And now, I mean, the future's looking bright for him, and he's still so young.
He's still super young. He's younger than me.
He's my age.
Wow.
I feel unaccomplished.
No, he's great. We're going to play some matchmaker and hypotheticals later on in the show. We're going to be joined with by somebody who was an NBA star and is also a UFC fan, and Evan Turner. He's the second overall pick in the 2010 NBA draft. He's going to join us because today the NBA playoffs start.
Yes, and speaking of the NBA playoffs, also the Olympic flame, it was officially, the torch was lit today in Paris.
Wow. And yeah. USA Basketball's got the rosters out, right? I believe there's one spot left open right now.
Yes. Do you want me to start there, or do you want to start on playoffs?
Oh, man. In the playoffs today, we got the play-in games. You know, you got Golden State Warriors. They're in action today. You have the Lakers in action today. I mean, it's just the seven seed Pelicans against the 8 seed Lakers and the 10 seed Warriors against the 9 seed Kings. This is the playing game. This is special, spectacular stuff. Arrested Curry for the Warriors. Helen, let's start there. There's so much to talk about. Let's start there.
Yeah, well, Steph Curry, I mean, he's obviously on the Olympic roster list.
Yeah, certainly is.
Along with LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, someone you know well, Devin Booker.
Yes, I do.
You played a game of Schmo with him. Drew Holiday, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards. Bam. I always like kind of mispronounce his last name.
Adebayo.
Yeah, you do a great job. And Tyrese Halliburton.
Solid team. Bunch of athletes.
But missing one.
Missing one. But I also say they're missing some height. You know, Embiid could have played for a different team. You know, he could have not played for Team USA. But the height differential. That could be interesting.
Well, then do you think the last player on the roster should be someone a bit taller? Like, who do you think could fill that 12th spot?
Well, if we're playing with recency bias and who's playing the best basketball right now, I might also have a little bias because he went to my high school back in the Chicagoland area. But who's playing better right now and leading their team than Jalen Brunson? I know it's another guard. Do we need another guard on our team? But Jalen Brunson, he's got a lot of experience with international play throughout his years growing up and becoming an NBA player. Obviously an NCAA champion in Villanova. Look at what the Knicks are doing right now in the playoffs, and that is obviously a top contender in the East. Jalen Brunson, you have a case for him. But there's so many great teams out there that have players in the NBA that are not representing the United States of America. I believe there are 8 players in the NBA on the Canadian basketball team alone. Canadian basketball, that they are a huge threat for the gold against Team USA this year. And obviously Luka Doncic and what he's able to do overseas. I mean, there's just so many teams. Is Giannis going to be playing? I mean, he's not going to be playing to start these NBA playoffs with that sore calf. I mean, and they're playing the Pacers. And you just mentioned Halliburton and how many points the Pacers score. The Pacers are going to be a tough out for the Milwaukee Bucks, who, let's just say, yeah, they're in the playoffs. And yeah, you know, they are where they need to be. But did they underperform this season? Was the Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo duo exactly what we thought it would be? You had a head coaching job switch midway through the season. It wasn't exactly roses and peaches over there in Milwaukee. A lot of adversity, and it does not help you facing the Indiana Pacers in the first round.
I know. It's going to be interesting to see how the playoffs unfold. Do you have a favorite so far?
Well, if you look in the East, I mean, the Celtics have been the best team all year. I mean, Jason Tatum has played great basketball. Obviously, he's been in contention in the MVP discussion. But then if you look at out West, that's where I'm so intrigued because this play-in game. I mean, you got the Warriors and the Lakers both in play-in games, both competing tonight. It's going to be super interesting to see. You got the one seed in the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they are the youngest team in the league. They don't play like a young team, but they are a young team. Are they going to live up to it? And then you look at the top also with the Minnesota Timberwolves when you had 2 7-plus footers in your starting lineup. I mean, it's interesting to see how the Western Conference is super competitive. And you have the Denver Nuggets. Can they repeat as champions? A lot of great storylines and a lot of great teams in the West, whereas the East, I feel like there's fewer teams that could contend in the NBA Finals.
Well, speaking of great players, though, on a side note, in terms of the 12th, you know, player for the Olympic spot, what do you think of Kawhi Leonard? Because right now there's some reports out there floating and some rumors that he actually might be the player who lands that final spot.
If you're Steve Ballmer, you don't want that because you're opening up this huge new arena that's going to compete with the Lakers. That's going to be over there in Inglewood near where the Rams play and the Chargers play. And you want to sell this thing out. You want your star player and Kawhi Leonard to be playing as much basketball as possible. And Kawhi Leonard has just this history of being injury prone. So you want him on the court. So extra games over the summer with Kawhi Leonard and USA basketball, you know they're going to need him. You know his versatility, the claw. He's going to bring it on both defense and offense. If you're Steve Ballmer, you don't want that. But if you're Team USA, it's another body. It's another athletic body with experience that's a proven winner at the highest level of the game.
And it looks like the training camp, though, will be here in Las Vegas July 5th.
We have NBA Summer League. We have the NBA training camp here. Vegas is just always the destination for premier sports, Ellen.
I know. I remember covering it, I think, back in 2016. Oh, my gosh. 2016, that was 8 years ago. But I remember covering USA basketball, and I interviewed, I think, Blake Griffin was in town.
Well, Blake Griffin just retired from the NBA today.
I know.
14 years in the NBA, Blake Griffin. When I think of him, I think of that slam dunk competition, jumping over that car.
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable. That was crazy.
The spin and dunk over Daniello Gallinari. But the poster over Timofey Mozgov, I think that's got to be number one. I mean, that's just the ferocity of a Blake Griffin dunk, a one of one guy. I mean, he was doing it when he was playing at Oklahoma, 14-year career. Obviously, with injuries, it slowed him down later on in his career. But when he was in peak performance in the early 2010s, he was just such an athletic specimen. I mean, he's one of those guys that could have played football as a tight end and obviously power forward in the NBA.
Would you call him a legend, or is that kind of...
No, I wouldn't call him a legend. And I don't think he would be a Hall of Famer just because you don't have the championships and where did he really lead in specific categories. I think he was a really solid player, a really good player, but nothing spectacular to be Hall of Fame worthy. I mean, maybe if he played in a couple of decades ago, he would have put up the numbers to be Hall of Fame worthy. But in today's modern game and in the era that he was in, he was always one of the better players. He was obviously an all-star player, but I don't believe it was good enough to be a Hall of Famer.
I agree with you on that. But this past weekend, also the WNBA.
Yes. Any surprises with Caitlin Clark yesterday?
Zero.
Going first overall?
No surprises on that. Number two, the second pick was Cameron Brink. Mm-hmm. Going on the LA Sparks. I think they did a good job with her.
And the third pick, I believe, was that South Carolina, the center out of South Carolina. I mean, she was a force. I mean, on the best team in college basketball all season long.
Camilla.
She is someone who's got the skill set that will translate to the next level. I mean, in that game, with that height and that winning pedigree, I think that's someone to come into the league with confidence and do big things. So I think going third overall too, not going second, not going first, that must play a chip on her shoulder. Being on the best team, national championship team, undefeated all year long, I mean, that's got to mean something.
Well, are you surprised that Angel Reese from LSU, she was selected number seven?
Seven overall. I mean, she's national champion last year, a great player, but that's also someone who could see that is a bit of a slight and come into the league with a chip on her shoulder. And she's a very popular player. People know about her. Celebrities and athletes talk about her. I think she can do big things as well. But speaking of big things, we got more NBA talk. We got some MMA talk. But coming up after break, we're going to be joined by a longtime NBA player, a great player, and Evan Turner. Don't go anywhere. The Schmo Zone, ESPN Radio Las Vegas.
Welcome back. We're your hosts, Dave Schmullinson and Helen Yee. Peel back the curtain in the Vegas sports world and beyond.
What is up, party people? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. We've been debating during this commercial break, is Blake Griffin a legend? That's been the question right now. But we're going to get to that schmomentarily because on the line, we have the 2010 second overall pick. He played a decade in the NBA. He's the co-host of the Post Forward podcast with Andre Iguodala. We have Evan Turner.
Yeah, what's up? What's up, brother? How you doing? What's going on?
Hey, we're doing great, man. We just had a great weekend with UFC 300 and NBA playoff start today. Life is good. Can't complain.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, too. Like you said, UFC 300 was amazing. And, you know, the NBA playoffs are getting, cracking today. I think it's going to be a fun spring, but 300 was unbelievable. It was a hell of a weekend. I had so much fun sitting on my couch from, like, 5 p.m. to, like, 1 a.m.
It was just special to be a part of it. Helen and I loved being there. Damon, our producer here for the Schmo Zone, he was there, too. We're going to get into that very shortly, but we have you on, Evan. I mean, you are a very recognizable guy. You are a legend in the state of Illinois when it comes to basketball, that's for sure. I just want to start with some NBA talk, some big storylines right now. We have the NBA play-in game. Who do you think is the most dangerous team right now that is competing in the play-in picture here in both the Eastern and Western Conference?
I think you always have to be, wary of like a LeBron James. You know what I mean? I think one thing that occurs, obviously they had the up and down moments over the season, but when you have a guy like LeBron James on the court and then you have Anthony Davis, I think sometimes he might have that star power to really, you know, get you over the hump. It's a championship caliber group, and I think that size is always hard to match up with over a week or so. But, I mean, it's going to be tough to if they get the Denver Nuggets the first round, it might be tough.
Yeah, the Denver Nuggets. Is there a team that you favor right now to come out of the East and come out of the West just based off of all the ball you've been watching all season?
To come out the East, for sure. I'm favoring Boston Celtics, to be honest with you. I mean, I think what they've done already doesn't get enough credit. You're sitting there, they had, like, what, 18 losses total? And I think, like, 3 weeks left before the season, they were flirting around, like, 13 or 14 losses. I think what they've been able to do this year defensively and offensively has been tremendous, and I think they have enough experience to really make it out the East again, and I think they're due for a championship over the next couple of years.
Do you think there's pressure on Jason Tatum and those guys, like, this season specifically, like, championship or bust?
I don't know if that's, you know, so crazy to be championship or bust, because it's still, you know, I think the Denver Nuggets are still such a great team. You know, you have to show respect to the champs. But I think one thing that occurs as a natural evolution with any, you know, great young player becoming, you know, a vet and, you know, one of the older guys in the league, it's just like the expectations change, you know, too much is given, much is expected. I think one thing that occurs is people expect Jason Tatum to be a top 10 player ever and also to win a few championships. And I think this is a time where the gate is open for guys to really start implementing their legacy.
And what do you make of Giannis Antetokounmpo and his left calf strain with the Bucks? I mean, they have a very tough matchup with the Pacers. And, you know, Milwaukee struggled a little bit on defense, and we know the offensive firepower of the Indiana Pacers.
You know, absolutely. You saw the Pacers just had 157 the other night. I think one thing that they have to do is just get healthy. That's the number one thing going into a playoff game and playoff grind is hopefully Milwaukee gets healthy. I think one thing is everybody has their eye on that series because, you know, basketball's all about matchups and, you know, confidence, and it's a game of runs. And you see the Pacers somewhat had their way this year with that team. And, you know, anytime one of your star players is ailing, that's no good going into a week-long battle.
We're talking to Evan Turner, the second overall pick in the 2010 NBA draft, playing a decade in the NBA. Let's talk about Steph Curry and the Warriors right now. Steph Curry a little bit rested, but the Warriors right now coming into the Western Conference, playing in against the Kings tonight. They're the 10th seed. Is this the last year of the Big Three as we know it? Is this the end of an era after this season?
Man, it's hard to say. I mean, I thought when you were going to end that era, I thought it was really to do it like a year or two ago. I think they kind of traded their backup options in that sense. But I think if anything happens, if guys want to be able, you know, want to stay, they'll do what's necessary for them to stay. If they want to win, they'll do what's necessary for them to win. I think one thing that Clay has done a great job is accepting his role. I think in order to, you know, keep that Big Three together, it's all about, you know, being realistic on where you're at and where you stand and what's best for the organization, not just what's best for the three people. Granted, they did build the whole situation, but I got them winning a play-in game at night for sure.
And earlier we were talking about the Olympic team for the NBA, Team USA. They're finalizing their roster right now. They have 11 guys on the roster so far. So for that, you know, 12th spot, who do you think is most deserving to be part of Team USA?
Man, to be honest with you, I think we had a conversation with Mike Wilbon the other day, and I think Team USA has a lot of firepower, but you need a lot of guys that kind of understand the intangibles and the other situation. Not to bring him up, but when you sit down, you know, you put Andre Iguodala in that position where he's able to do everything and fill a role. I like the idea of trying to throw Kawhi in there, but if not, I think Aaron Gordon has been a tremendous player over the past few years, a championship caliber player and a selfless individual. And then, you know, if not those guys, I would have loved to have seen Kyrie or Damian Lillard in there for sure. Those are some of my favorite players to watch.
Got to bring up Andre Iguodala, co-host of the Point Forward podcast with you. I mean, both you guys, great NBA players, but no love for our guy Jalen Brunson, fellow Chicago, and look what he's been doing with the Knicks all season. I know they don't need another guard, but, you know, he's got that leadership. He's won at every level. I mean, look at the season he's playing.
Oh, no, he's been unbelievable, to be honest with you, and he should be. His name should be higher in the MVP race. You know, I've been one of the biggest fans of Jalen Brunson. He's been unbelievable. I think one thing that just occurs is tough is when you're looking at that guard play, it's like, where's our defender?
Yeah.
You know? And even though I'm saying I want to see Kyrie and Dame, I got to use that same mindset of, like, where would our defenders be, which is why I'm hoping for the sake of, you know, the team, they go get a 3-4, you know, somebody that can, you know, guard multiple positions, because I think offensively would be good, but we have to really set the tone defensively, especially considering how confident these countries are going to come out and play. And also, too, you know, unlike, you know, most countries, we don't really have the same consistent team, you know, practicing year in and year out. So, you know, it's a lot you're going to have to pick up on the fly, regardless of how high the talent is.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Who do you think's our biggest threat out there internationally? I was just looking at the Canadian roster. They have 8 NBA players. Then you go overseas and you look at, like, what Luka Doncic and his squad's been able to do. I mean, who do you think's the biggest threat for USA basketball as gold champions, gold medals?
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I guess, like, France got some guys for sure. You know, anytime you have those three big there are two big players or whatever, those guys would be tough. For the sake of it being a rarity, I guess you should have to highlight the Canadian players. I mean, right now you could argue SGA should be, you know, league MVP. And considering, you know, how he was able to carry that young team to such a prominent position in the West, I think they have the right type of mentality to really match up with a lot of guys. But also, too, when you say 8 NBA players, iron sharpens iron. You know, sometimes it's not about the X's and O's and it's Jimmy's and Joe's and what their experience really shows up to be.
You brought up the French team. I'm thinking Wemby. How do you think he played this season? Did he exceed your expectations, played your expectations? How would you assess his rookie season?
I mean, you see it. I just didn't think anything like that ever existed. So they're like, he's going to come to America and do that. I mean, there's no way he's going to come to do that. Like, it would be cool to see it, but, like, how? Like, I just never heard of it. And one of my buddies was just called me the other day and was like, yo, I think Wemby might be the best player ever. And I was like, yo, it's kind of, like, it's crazy because what he's doing at this level, how focused he is, you know, his impact defensively and, you know, the plus minus and just the skill set overall. I think, you know, we're embarking on, you know, a new age of a superstar, and it's been fun to watch. And like you said, it's believable when he's like, this is going to probably be his worst year of his career. You know?
Yeah. Favorite Blake Griffin memory now that he just officially retires from the NBA today?
I mean, it's probably the dunk on Timofey Mozgov, or maybe when he tipped dunk on Pau Gasol. That was hilarious. I think Andrew Bynum's reaction was crazy. But those early days of, like, 2010, 2011, man, it was actually unbelievable. Every single night you could count on something you never seen before. You know what I mean? And the way – not only did he become a dunker, but then the way he developed his game to actually be an all-around player who can carry a team with his playmaking and also, you know, his physicality, but also the finesse that he added to his game was nothing short of spectacular.
Yeah.
And over the break, we were debating with our producer, Damon, on whether or not Blake Griffin is a legend. So, in your opinion, do you consider him a legend?
I mean, we're the same age, so it's so hard to really say that. But I think one thing that occurs is culturally, I think he had the world on fire at a certain point. I think he played for some really great teams. I think if he spoke more, he could argue that he'd go on a rant and be like, I was on the best teams and never won a championship. But I think if it comes down to it, his name should be up there around, like, you know, legend. He was trending night in and night out, and his game really matched, you know, that of some of the great players. And anytime you do it for 10-plus years at this high level, he played during a time when some of the greatest players of all time was competing and his name was up there. So you got to really throw it up there and, you know, take it into consideration.
You have our producer, Damon, jumping for joy. Let's get into some UFC 300 now. I know we've been waiting for that, too. You're a big MMA fan, and we share this bond with our love for basketball and MMA. What was your favorite fight? I mean, there's one that obviously comes to mind, but, like, what's your overall favorite fight from UFC 300? Let's start there.
I think my overall favorite fight was probably, I think Max Holloway, Justin Gaethje, that was the craziest fight, you know, you could think of. You could see, I think one thing that occurs is, not because of the knockout, but just my feeling leading up to it, I was truly shocked at how Max Holloway went in there and handled his business. I think when you say BMF, like up until the other night, I think Justin Gaethje is the real, I'm like, man, I do not like this matchup for Max. I think Justin swings too hard. I just think he might hit too hard. And, I mean, by the end of the first round, it was just like he made child's play of him. You know what I mean? And then towards the end, the way he finished and knocked out, I'm like, I'm still thinking about, like, that fight. Till this moment, it's been unbelievable. And I think the other one that was pretty cool was, Davison or the Figueiredo. I thought that was pretty cool. I enjoy watching him fight. You know, anytime you have a champion at range, I always root for, you know, a champion, especially in this division when, you know, UFC, you go from doing pay-per-views to fighting the very first fight. You're like, all right, bro, I hope he does okay, you know?
You're a true fan.
Yeah,
you just,
I respect.
Shout
that.
Out. That was the very first fight of the night, and arguably the greatest first fight on a mixed martial arts card to date, having two former champions dance like that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was actually crazy. I literally, when I tell you I was on the couch, I literally told everybody, I was like, yo, I don't care what's going on. At 5 p.m., I'm inside. If you want to see me, you can come over. If not, I don't care who's around. Oh. I literally was like, yo, Dana White did this for the people. Like, say what you want about him. He needs to be, you know what I mean? Like, hands shut, because this was an unbelievable card. Saturday was just unbelievable, man. It was unbelievable, unreal.
It really was. And we just are throwing out the word legend. Max Holloway, younger than me, younger than you, he's a legend. The only fighter in the history of the organization to be the BMF champion, to be an interim champion, and to be an undisputed champion, fighting legends after legends. He was already a legend before this fight. Outstanding fighter. And now I'll even say Potan Alex Pereira, and still the light heavyweight champion. How quickly he was able to come into the UFC and become champion, not just a champion, a two division champion.
Yeah.
And also what he did in glory and kickboxing, just having the learning, the grappling game and those side of things. I mean, from top to bottom, there's so many great things we can talk about here.
No, absolutely. And I think one thing just with Pereira, like, he's talking about moving up to heavyweight. You know, I thought that was pretty crazy. Or, like, you come in, you're looking now, like, shoot, you're looking at Charles Oliveira. You're like, damn, like, is he going to get a chance to be able to get his, you know, his belt back, considering he just took that tough loss the other night, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but, like, I think after Ilya Topura beat Alexander Volkanovski, I believe, I don't know if it's Rogan or somebody, but they're like, right now, the fighters in today's game are truly the best fighters ever walking the earth. So we're, like, right now just in a golden age and enjoying the matchups and people showing up and the game continuing to be elevated.
Certainly. And I couldn't agree more with that statement, because if you think about it, the sport's 30 years young. Where were they with the NFL? They were still wearing leather helmets, I believe, 30 years into the sport. And think about where basketball evolved from 30 years till now into the league. So I certainly see that point. What were you going to say, Helen?
And you mentioned that Dana White's a man of the people. Well, after the fight, he announced some breaking news that UFC 302, headlined by Islam Makhachev and Dustin Poirier, co-main event, Sean Strickland versus Paulo Costa. Can't wait for that press conference.
Wow.
And then UFC 303, Conor McGregor is officially back, International Fight Week, fighting Michael Chandler.
Wow.
Wow, that's going to be crazy. That's going to be... I'm really looking forward to that, man. I'm a big Conor McGregor fan. You know, obviously everything he's done for the sport. I'm looking forward to seeing him get off the snide and get a win. I mean, Michael Chandler's a dangerous dude. I love his mindset as well. I watched him and Gaethje, you know, battle it out in New York at Madison Square Garden, and that was a pretty crazy matchup. But like I said, I tell all my friends, you got to really dive into UFC because it's not a crazy week. It's truly the battle of the alphas, and you know, every single pay-per-view, every single fight, you're watching the next best fight the next best, and that's very rare in this day and age. And you know, you're catching great fights, and you're getting guys that are signing up on major shows. So,
who's your favorite fighter to watch currently?
Well, I always joke around. I call myself Evan Turner Volkanovski. You know what I mean? So, so I'm a big Volkanovski fan. I loved Max Holloway, but my guy Poirier was a big deal too. I like how Poirier handles his business, and obviously Izzy's fun to watch. But Sweet Dreams, my dude, Sweet Dreams, he took a loss the other night, but I love his background, how tough he is, and you know, him going to Brazil, first time ever out the country, and you know, beating Glover Teixeira in that arena was nothing, you know, short of magnificent. So those are some of my favorite people to watch. And then I like, you know, Zhang Weili. She's unbelievable.
You and I both have that appreciation for Jamahal Hill. I know I've seen him on your podcast before, and he's done some special things. I actually spoke to him briefly yesterday. He's in great spirits. I know he'll be back. And, you know, he suffered his first defeat right here in the UFC. I mean, tip your hat off to him. Usually he's the one giving out those knockouts, not the one on the receiving end of it, so he'll be back stronger. I know he wants to get right back in there into the mix and fight for contention, and he's right there at the top.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think his type of competitive spirit makes the fight game even more fun. So he's not ducking and dodging like he's shooting. Next, he's running for Jiří. That's going to be a hell of a matchup, too.
Yes.
Yeah, Jiří's fight was crazy, too.
Jiří had a great fight. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, man. I still feel so bad for Rockets, you know what I mean?
He got tired, and both of those guys were landing. And when you're fighting in that 205-pound weight division, both guys are probably, what, 225 right there inside the cage? Everything hurts, I mean, in all aspects of the fight. And the last man was standing, literally.
The samurai spirit.
The samurai spirit with him, too.
It was something, but shout out to my boy Bobby Green too, man. He did his thing. He was putting on a show for sure.
21 stitches, and he busted Jim Miller's nose. I mean, everything was there. Bobby Green put on a show, and Jim Miller, the only guy now to compete at UFC 100, 200, and 300, and he won in both 100 and 200. So I kind of thought he was going to have a little, as the schmo would say, schmomentum for UFC 300. But Bobby Green does what Bobby Green does, and he certainly is so enjoying someone that goes forward, keeping his hands down because he believes in his speed, his agility, and his fighting IQ is always going to be better than you. Love watching him perform.
Yeah, for sure. And they really were swinging for $300,000. So that's what was crazy. I was like, oh, no, give it to him.
And that's why Max Holloway was so spectacular. He got $600,000. He got two bonuses for having the fight of the night and the performance of the night.
Yeah, but you want to know how he really won? He went into the BMF and gave the belt to his girl. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was crazy. Like, imagine you knocking somebody out in front of Holloway. Like, you know what I mean? And give him the belt. Like, you know, like imagine how crazy that is. Forget the $600,000. I just want the moment. You know what I mean?
Hey, storybook schmoment right then and there. You live with that. That's what dreams are made of. And that's why I'm comfortable calling him a legend, even though he's younger than us. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm definitely comfortable calling him a legend, man. He's a dog. Where he came from, his background. And, like, when you break it down, he was prior to running into Alexander Volkanovski, he was the best, you know, at that division of all time. And what, I mean, what he did to Calvin Kattar and some of his highlights is just crazy, man. I mean, Max Holloway is a true legend. I didn't even know how old he was. He had been a legend in my book for, like, 3 or 4 years, to be honest.
Well, certainly the case. Evan, we really appreciate you coming on the Schmozone. Helen's got one more thing she wants to ask you.
No, well, I was actually going to ask Schmo, like, when are you going to knock someone out and give me a belt? Now that Evan brought it up. That's a good point, Evan.
Evan, you were just...
I like where your mind's at.
Okay, put me on the spot. It's right then there. Evan, you just talked about a perfect dance partner. If I ever had the absolute perfect dance partner, then I would have that situation that I could fight for, and we can make that happen. I just would need the right dance partner. Maybe it will happen.
I hear you, man. You got to get the right type of promoter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And somehow you seem like you need to be involved with this because you keep egging it on. We love to hear it. Evan Turner, I don't know if it was more fun talking NBA or UFC with you. It was great talking both. We'll do it again.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, man. Much respect and love for what you're doing, man. Thanks again.
Thank you. Oh, will we see you at International Fight Week like last year here in Vegas?
Oh, you already know, man. Hell yeah. I'll be through there for sure.
Maybe you'll come here in person and we'll do this.
Yes, now say less, man. Let's get that on the books. I always appreciate you for thinking of me, man. Thank you for real.
I appreciate you. Chicago guy, always in my heart. Evan Turner, ladies and gentlemen.
And love, Mo. See you, Helen.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Man, he knows his UFC. He knows his MMA, Helen.
I respect that. I mean, and to say Davison Figueiredo.
Yes.
The first fight of the night, which, by the way, someone you interviewed not too long ago, Kyler Murray, he was there sitting down front row before the first fight even started this past weekend. So I have a lot of respect for him too. And I actually had to tweet it. I think he even responded to my tweet that he's like true fan.
True fan sitting next to the Bullet, Valentina Shevchenko. We played the Kyler Murray, I believe, on last week's episode because I saw him at that celebrity sweat slam jam basketball game in Arizona.
Yeah. What a small world. And then now he was here joking about being next to Valentina Shevchenko.
I mean, not a bad person to be sitting next to. This is the Schmozone on ESPN Radio Las Vegas. Just want to give a shout out to Ford Country Las Vegas, located in the Valley Auto Mall. Check them out at FordCountryHenderson.com for their selection of new and used vehicles. Let them know the Schmo sent you. You can't go wrong. And when we come back after break, we're going to play a little UFC matchmaking because why not? The Schmozone. Stay tuned.
Now you're back into the Schmo Zone on ESPN Las Vegas.
What is up, party people? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. We're about to really get into the Schmo Zone, diving into UFC, playing a little matchmaking because we are still amped up from what we just saw this past weekend. Also, Friday evening, Impa Kasaganai, who was on the show last week, he won his fight, made a finish. Spectacular fashion, still the light heavyweight champion in Bellator and PFL. But we saw that Friday night. We saw UFC 300 on Saturday night. So we are juiced. We are amped. Let's do a little matchmaking, right, Helen?
Yeah, juiced, but drug testing approved. USADA approved.
USADA approved. Paulo Costa, secret juice approved.
Yes, okay. 100%. Which I actually think he's going to get his secret juice drug testing approved.
Licensed?
Yeah.
FDA approved?
Yes. I respect that.
We watched.
No more USADA, so who knows?
Yes.
Oh, you're right.
Well, yeah, we watched him make it in a kitchen, in an Airbnb a couple weeks ago. He was in town after UFC 298.
True story. We both tried it, and I went my best time that weekend.
Swimming.
Yeah. True story.
True story.
And then this 2 weekends ago, no secret juice. I did not go my best time.
Has USADA tested you yet, Helen?
Hey, shh. Don't tell them. Don't tell them the secret. But, you know, we had Evan Turner on before the break. It was a lot of fun talking basketball and MMA with him because I know he said he was sitting on his couch the entire fight card of UFC 300. So now let's play a little matchmaker. And Damon, feel free to chime in as well. But let's start with the main event, Alex Pereira. So afterwards, he kind of suggested, hey, he's willing to maybe take a fight at heavyweight. I mean, I know Tom Aspinall made a post as well and kind of stared at him. But what would you like to see next for the champ, Alex Pereira?
So it's interesting, too, because I was just thinking of this from the light heavyweight perspective. But if Tom Aspinall is willing to put his interim heavyweight title on the line, Alex Pereira's already made history. How quickly he's become champion of the UFC, not just becoming champion, becoming a two-division champion in both the middleweight and then the light heavyweight division. Why not go for the trifecta? Why not try to go for that interim heavyweight belt? And if Tom Aspinall is willing to put that on the line and not wait to unify for the winner of Stipe and John Jones, if we're ever going to get that anytime soon, why not have Alex Pereira face the winner there? And then you could have Magomed Ankalaev against Jiří Prochazka right then and there for next in line in the light heavyweight division.
Then what about Jamahal Hill?
Well, that's the other scenario. And then, Damon, chime in, please. If Jiří's defending the light heavyweight title, I think you let him defend it against... Sorry, not Jiří. If Alex Pereira is defending the light heavyweight title, then I think he should be fighting Jiří Prochazka. Jiří Prochazka being active and beating Rakic, the number 5th ranked guy, former champion. I know it's a rematch, but I think he's earned it. And then you have Magomed Ankalaev fighting Jamahal Hill. What do you got, Damon?
I would rather see, for a matchmaking purposes, I think Jiří and Jamahal is the better fight. But when it comes to rankings and after the performance that he had at UFC 300, Jiří should be next in line for a title shot. But if Alex Pereira was to move up to heavyweight and fight Tom Aspinall, you know the UFC is always trying to create those moments. Dana White said in the press conference, hey, people ask me what I do for a living. I make holy bleep moments. That's what I do for a living. What better holy bleep moment would it to be Alex Pereira trying to reach history to be the first person to win a championship in 3 divisions?
That's right.
Wow.
That is.
Yeah, the storyline for
yes.
that.
Yes. Although, well, the BMF is still 2 weight divisions for Max Holloway because he's got 3 belts, but technically with the BMF, it stuck in the lightweight division at 155 because Gaethje and them, they fought at 155. I like that. Totally up to Aspinall in that situation, but I favor that fight too. If he wants to make history, let him contend for the interim heavyweight belt, and that's the match we would make.
You just mentioned Max Holloway. He has a lot of options right now. So what do you think is most intriguing next? And because I believe I saw an interview yesterday, which he mentioned that a fight he would be interested in as well as Conor McGregor, that rematch. But we all know right now McGregor is officially fighting Michael Chandler, UFC 303.
Yes. So because he's officially fighting, let's just go by practicality here. And we know that Islam Makhachev is fighting Dustin Poirier. It just makes all the sense in the world. Already being BMF, you can go from 155 to 45, 45 to 55. He's next in line. Have him fight Ilia Topuria for the featherweight strap, whether it's in Spain, whether it's anywhere, the most amount of money, the best opportunity to get back the title. Dana White also said earlier this week that Max Holloway, even over Volkanovski, as great as he is arguably the greatest featherweight of all time. Well, don't you think he has another opportunity to prove that and fight Ilia Topuria, El Matador, who was also there cage side for the best post-fight reaction to the knockout? Storyline already there. Listen, Sean Shelby, Mick Maynard, if you're listening to the Schmozone on your ESPN radio drive home or drive anywhere, that's the fight to make. Max Holloway, Ilia Topuria.
I'm going to quote CM Punk here when he returned to WWE and he said, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. If I'm Max Holloway, I want to see how Conor performs against Michael Chandler and really prove that you're the BMF and then say, hey, if Conor says, I cannot make 155 anymore, Max Holloway, he said, I'm Polynesian, brother. I've been eating a lot. Fight at 170 because I think he has the skill at this point in his career to carry him.
165 weight division, slow division.
There we go.
But
I think that fight's, regardless of Max Holloway wins or loses against an Ilia Topuria, and whether he's featherweight champion or not, I guarantee you the fight would be there with Conor McGregor if he gets past Michael Chandler. If he doesn't get past Michael Chandler, you can argue it's the last time we may ever see Conor McGregor ever again, yeah?
Ooh. I wouldn't say the last time because
in the UFC.
No, I don't think in the UFC because if he were to lose to Michael Chandler, I think the built-in excuse would be the ring rust. I got one more in me. I got to come back.
The Nate Diaz trilogy?
See? There's something more.
All right. Okay. I'm just talking about the motivation. It's taken so long to get back in there. And he's got a movie career where we just saw what he did with Roadhouse and Amazon. Like, he's got the bug for Hollywood. He can be a star, celebrity, and whatever he's doing. I'm just saying the possibilities there. Would I want to see him leave the sport altogether? Absolutely not. I would love to see the trilogy with Nate Diaz, as Helen just mentioned. I would love to see the rematch with Max Holloway. They both deserve that payday, extra payday if they want it. I'm just saying a hypothetical that could potentially happen. Who knows?
There's a lot of good options.
There's good options. What else you got? What else you got for us? We're running out of showtime. We're running out of showtime here, Helen.
I'm sorry. What about? Ooh,
we got 30 seconds left. Zhang Guili, whatever she wants, whatever she wants. Who can compete with her right now?
The fight in the women's division to make is definitely Amanda Nunes coming back.
Kayla Harrison.
If yes. Kayla yes. Harrison fights Raquel Pennington next, and then she's the champion, then Nunes would come back, then you have that fight. Wow, we can go on for days. We need more time next time, Helen.
I know.
We need
sorry.
More next time.
But,
we gotta
follow
go.
Follow me, Helen Esports.
And I'm the Schmo. Follow us at the Schmo Zone. Tune in every Tuesday, 2 to 3 p.m. Till next time, we are out.